Good morning, Tucson. Welcome to Jump in Tucson. I'm your host, Ed Ackerley. We've been going for a couple of weeks here on Jump in Tucson. We have a unique format. On Mondays, I host a series with the University of Arizona called Wonder. On Tuesday, Ted Maxwell hosts the Engagement Hour. On Wednesday, our friend Grant Kruger talks about food and restaurants and how that intersects with politics. On Thursday, Tom Moulton from Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance talks about tourism and the cool things to do. And then here on Friday, we talk about business success stories of companies that have been doing it right in Tucson for quite some time. And we talk to them about their success. So today we're going to talk with Val Romero. He is the owner and proprietor of Arizona Grill and Hearth. Good morning, Val.
Aloha. Good morning, Ned. How are you?
I like that aloha part of it. That
aloha, yes.
Aloha. Aloha.
Especially on Aloha Friday. So, yes, it's a great morning.
So we went to different high schools together.
Yes, we did.
in different years. But so you're a South Point boy. I'm a Palo Verde Titan. But tell us about your kind of a little bit of your history of how Val Romero got kind of involved in the current industry that you're in, how you moved through the process of deciding that someday you were going to own Arizona Grill and Hearth.
Well, it's kind of funny because I had no idea I was going to do that.
Right. As do most students, especially at the U of A where I teach, they have. We were just talking to our intern Molly out there, and Christy Simone asked her, "Well, what do you want to do with your life?" And she kind of puzzled, looked at him, and said, "I don't know. I want to be in marketing and advertising." So, you're among many. So
yes. So actually, when I got started, I wanted to get into actually be a radio DJ,
right?
What I thought I wanted to be. Went to the Academy of Radio and Television up in Phoenix. I graduated from there. And then from there, I became a DJ at some of the different bars and clubs around town. I started up in Phoenix at the Black Angus way back when, and then down here in Tucson.
Angus was a great place.
Yes.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. And then from there, I started my own DJ company, a mobile DJ, doing that.
Right.
And then...
Quick fact. You may not know this, but Bill Ackerley and Ed Ackerley, one great hit after another. Ackerley Mobile Music. We had a mobile DJ service for about 10 years when we were in college and made good money.
Wow, yeah, no, I did good. Mine was a Chevy's DJ service, and my daughter actually still, she takes over that now. So that was my path. I thought that I wanted to be a radio DJ, even a DJ at like the Bum Steer, and then I, you know, did mobile things for a lot of the other, like KWFM way back in the day. But at the time I was married, my wife at the time wanted me to get out of DJing at the bars. I had a friend of mine from church, an older gentleman, who said, "Hey, come work for me at my fireplace and barbecue store." And I said, "No." Then he said, "Hey, come work for me for a barbecue fireplace store." I said, "No." Hmm. And then I got this ultimatum, and I said, "Hey, is that offer still..." That offer's still good to work at your fireplace?
You will take that job he keeps offering you, or we will not be married much longer. Yeah.
So it was his name was Dick Ebert, Dick's Gas Grills and Lights.
Right.
So he's was
a long time Tucson company. They were in business for a long time.
Yes, right? And they were on Stone Avenue, and that's when I got started in the fireplace and barbecue industry. Needless to say, I got hooked in the barbecue aspect of it. I wasn't very married for much longer, so got back into DJing. So I was Dick's Gas Grills and Lights in the day, DJing at the night, and then kept my mobile DJ service. But from there, I ended up deciding I wanted to go work for myself as opposed to work for other companies. So back in 2005, I went out on my own to start Arizona Grill and Hearth.
Fantastic. And you have a great facility over on Jerry near Speedway in Columbus, and you have a great showroom there. And so how long did it take you to get to that place and that physical location?
Yeah, so when I first got started, I was working out of the back of my Ford Explorer. Then I upgraded to a Dodge Durango. Then I upgraded to my garage.
Right.
So it took a while. Back in like May of 2011, I ended up, it was ironic, was looking for a place to open up a showroom back in 2011. And at that one time, Dick's Gas Grill was on Stone Avenue. Someone else bought them, and they moved a location. And just so happened that same location, 2600 North Stone, was for rent. So I ended up renting the old Dick's Gas Grills and Lights building. And I remember sitting there just getting ready, and we had a couple come on in looking for some basic parts that I happen to have on my truck. And they came by because they said, oh, yeah, I remember buying stuff here from Dick's Gas Grills and Lights. And by moving into that one location, that helped us automatically. People just knew that was a place to go. And because we fell into that location by God's, you know, blessing on there, it was easy to get the foot traffic on in.
Right. And then you opened up over on Jerry. And what year did you open up in the new place?
7 years ago. So what's that? 2016. Mm-hmm. 2016, we ended up moving to the Jerry Avenue, a much better location, a much secure location. It's a little bit more off the beaten path, but it's very easy to find if you know where the Dunn Edwards is on Speedway. We're the two-story building directly on the south side of that Dunn Edwards.
And you have a complete showroom. You have a nice little gathering place for events in the back. You have a kitchen, a full kitchen in the back. And then you have your wonderful courtyard where you've done some incredible things out there for community groups and candidates and so forth.
Yeah, we've done that. We also host different events out in that area. I actually have an event today for some of our builders and landscapers and contractors. And
what time should Matt and I be there?
4 to 7.
Every time I go to your place, it seems like you're cooking up a storm out there, and the food is out. You're a very good cook. The food that I especially like, those little golden potatoes that you make. Those are fantastic. I do not know how you do that, but they are absolutely delicious. So you're hosting an event today. So you do a lot of those out on the outside patio area there, and that outdoor kitchen and stage. You have a little stage area there.
Yeah. So our business has kind of transformed. You know, we have like an 1,800 square foot showroom. Back in 2020, we kind of shifted around a little bit, and we had people that were looking for outdoor venues, so we were able to open up our outdoor space. And then from there, you know, we've consolidated our showroom to the front half of our store and created the back half of our store kind of more of a cafe, a meeting area as well.
Okay, let's take a break now, and we'll come back. We'll talk to you about some classes, cooking classes, some of your other products that you sell, and the service that you provide at Arizona Grill and Hearth. You're listening to Jump in Tucson on KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice, Tucson's only live local news and talk. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. This is your host, Ed Ackerley. We're on the Friday edition of Business Success Stories. Coming up on Monday, we have University of Arizona Wonder Program with me, your host. On Tuesday, Ted Maxwell will have our friend Juan Siscomani is scheduled to be with him. On Wednesday, Grant Kruger will be here, and he'll have Heather Lappin, who is the candidate for Pima County Sheriff. And then on Thursday, our friend Tom Moulton from Southern Arizona Attractions will be here. And then I'll be back again next Friday with Business Success Stories. So we're talking this morning with Val Romero from Arizona Grill and Hearth. We're talking about his company over on Speedway Boulevard. One thing I just had to bring up is how did the whole Elvis thing come about, and the flame suits and your personality that you use when you go to events and so forth?
So actually it happened, I think it was about 10 years ago. It's going to be 11 years in March. So selling outdoor barbecue grill kitchens and fireplaces, fire pits, things of that nature, there was only one company that had more experience than me in that, you know, being in the industry since 1995 was Barbecues Galore. Excuse me. Anyways, Barbecues Galore ended up going out of business. So I needed to find something to let people know I was the expert in this. I was, you know, the person with the most experience in here. And I, you know, and a lot of people probably remember way back when you had JJ, the King of Beepers, or you know, how do you do something? And I did a birthday party with my mom, who's a huge Elvis fan, and I'm, you know, because of her, I'm an Elvis fan as well too. We did a bunch of skits with my brother, my uncle, and myself. We dressed up in Elvis outfits. We rented from the Gaslight Theater. Everybody told me how great Elvis I was. So the home show was coming up a couple weeks later. So I ended up renting that same suit, went to the home show as the King of Barbecues. And it was an instant gravitation to that. And it was a great way for me to accent my experience in the barbecue industry. From there, I had a custom suit made, and then I had another custom suit made from a lady out of Nanaimo, British Columbia, who makes Elvis impersonator suits for a living. So she made one with a special flair to kind of go with the King of Barbecues. And I ended up having to get it nationally trademarked. And so that was a little bit of a long and expensive process. But the King of Barbecues is a trademarked name.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. It was amazing.
Stealing my thunder.
Yeah, it was amazing when, you know, you were with me the other day at the Coaches for Charity Kickoff Classic and you had your outfit on. It's amazing how many people come up to you and want to get their picture with you. And it's amazing. It's amazing.
Well, and it's a lot of fun for a lot of people, especially when I go in and you hear the younger kids say, it's Elvis, you know, and so he's still living, you know, right. You know, out there, parents are still teaching them about the kid. But yes, it's fun. It's a dynamic. It's a great persona. And again, it just creates smiles and happiness. And that's kind of one of the things that I'm a big proponent on is, you know, putting happiness and treating people with kindness, love, and respect kind of goes along with the spirit of aloha that we've talked about.
I have a funny little note to that. You said barbecues galore. The pastor of my church is Father George Hawley.
Well, tell George I said hi.
I will.
He was very instrumental. I know when he was leaving, I asked what he was doing with the phone numbers, and he let me take the Barbecue Galore phone numbers.
Fantastic.
And that was, again, like I said, you talk about little successes. It's little things like this. And again, it's not with me. You know, God intervenes in a lot of these things, and he connects us in different ways. And, you know, so a lot of my success is, it's all.
Right. That's fantastic. Well, let's talk a little bit about what you sell. You sell, of course, barbecues. You also sell outdoor fireplaces and outdoor kitchens and things like that. Can you talk a little bit about what services you offer at Arizona Grill and Hearth?
Yeah, so we specialize in building of the outdoor kitchens. But we have clients that have an old grill that no longer fit, like an old Barbecue's Galore Turbo grill. We can replace it with like an AOG, an Artisan, different brand of grills that are out there. In addition to that, we also do barbecue smokers. So we have pellet smokers and charcoal smokers. And we actually do a lot of, for semi-custom homes and custom homes, we do the indoor fireplaces as well, too. So, you know, the long linear style, large masonry style, gas, anything you're looking for in an indoor fireplace, remodels and new construction. So we do a lot of fireplaces in addition to the outdoor barbecue grills, but kind of going on with the barbecue grill side, the King of Barbecues ended up starting its own line of barbecue spices, rubs, and seasonings as well. So based on the Elvis theme, we've got seasonings like Hunk of Burn and Rub. We have Suspicious Spice. We have Rub Me Tender, Steakhouse Rock, including our barbecue sauce, all sauced up, and then our Hot Sauce Hotel line, Habanero Hot Sauce and Balsamic Hot Sauce, Balsa Nova. So we've kind of had a lot of fun doing those, and I use my spices all the time. And then I figure out, how else can we expand on this? Well, like you had mentioned, I do a lot of barbecue grilling and smoking, and I have a lot of people that buy smokers, but they're intimidated because they're brand new to the whole smoking aspect of it. So I offer a class once a month where people can pay $100, and it's a 9-to-3 thing. And we teach people how to smoke ribs. It's all hands-on. So we're doing ribs. We're doing tri-tip. We're doing those creamer potatoes that you love so much. Roasted potatoes, turkey tenderloin, pork tenderloin, pulled pork. So it's a prepping food all day long to teach you how to do these. And then we eat afternoon, and then we, you know, kind of pace yourself.
And you teach them how to use the smokers and how to use the grills the right way so that the meat comes out the way or the vegetables comes out the way that you want it to.
Yeah, and it's sped up their learning curve because they're actually doing it. They're seasoning at the store and they're seeing it being put on the smoker, and it's very interactive. And then I've had many people that have come back and shared their success stories after they've taken one of the classes or the wives will come back. My husband's doing this. He's doing this.
That's great. That's great. It's a very impressive facility. Well, if someone wanted to get a hold of Arizona Grill and Hearth, obviously stop by. But what's your website and how would they get a hold of Val Romero?
So the website is azgrill, G-R-I-L-L, the letter N, Hearth, H-E-A-R-T-H.com, or just do a Google search, Arizona Grill and Hearth. And then our phone number, 520-623 0924. Usually Val Romero's not there, but his daughter Megan is there. And sometimes you will get me and I'm there by appointments, but usually I'm out in the field taking care of whatever my daughter tells me to go do.
and sometimes when you stop by the place, your COO and your CFO are both there. Your grandkids are there sometimes.
Yes, I have my granddaughter Penny from Heaven if she's after school, and then my grandson right now, he's almost two. He's running around keeping us busy.
I call him the chief operations officer because he keeps you guys jumping. Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit more with you. You're going to stay for the second half, but before we get to that, I wanted to just ask you about your we'll talk about your role at TUSD. But let's talk a little bit about your run for city council, and then moving on to supervisor here in the coming election cycle.
Yes, for me, I feel there needs to be a change of leadership all the way across in our community. Being a very community-involved person, you know, being here all my life, being part of the business community, I felt something. I remember when city council election was coming up, it's like no one was running against Steve Kosacek. And it's like, why doesn't somebody, you know, run against him? And then there was a song that came on the radio, and it said, so I looked up at God and said, why? And he's like, I made you.
Right.
So it's kind of one of those things where I wanted to listen with my head and say, no, this is for somebody else, and listen with my heart. And from there I decided, you know, if this is what you want, then I will listen and I will go. And so with that, he helped me build a great team from there. Of course, I did not win the city election, but from there I went to the TUSD, found out I was electable, so I was elected for the TUSD governing board. And again, I want to continue the leadership and be part of our community, the leadership of our community. And that's why one of the reasons I'm running again for Board of Supervisors. Again, leadership in our city and our community needs to change more for the positive. It's not the same city Tucson that I grew up with. Mm-hmm. Now I've got grandkids and right. a daughter, and I want to see a better life for them. And then also the other people in our community. Now that I'm, like you said, part of TUSD, there's a lot of kids out there that are going to be our future. And
right.
What kind of environment are we going to have for them?
If somebody wanted to help you for your run for supervisor, where would they go for that information?
So the probably easiest way right now is just find a Vote Val Romero for Tucson on my Facebook page. And I think it's also vote@valromero.com. Mm-hmm. Is how you can get a hold of me via email. I know we're going collecting signatures every Saturday from 9 to 12 until the deadline, or until we get enough signatures. I know we're doing one this weekend, meeting on the west side, Barrio Hollywood, where we'll be walking collecting signatures this weekend.
Great. So if you can jump in and help Val with his a run for supervisor. As we finish up this segment, let's just talk about your visit to every TUSD school and how you've jumped in and engaged with the process of you being a member of the TUSD governing board.
Yeah, so the biggest thing I think for me is immersion. You know, if you want to get a pulse of what's going on, you have to jump in, as you say, and we'll right. go along with our theme here. And to figure out the best way that I could do that is to visit all the different schools, see what struggles they have, meet with the principals. They're the CEOs of their little schools. Again, as I'm going into this, I look at it as a business. You know, we're selling education for these schools. What are some of the different struggles that some of the schools have? What are positive things that each of these schools have? And then also building a rapport with the principals at these schools. So I felt it was very important to meet basically the team, at least in the ground level. And my goal was to hit all 88 schools in my first year. So I've done that, and now we're on the second year. We're going to do it again.
Well, I really appreciate your service to the community. You know, you're the one that taught me unity and community. And you and I have had some pretty frank discussions about the direction of Tucson and the region and the county and so forth, and we appreciate your service in the government side. We also appreciate your business and the success that you've had at Arizona Grill and Hearth. So thank you, Val Romero. You'll stay with us for the second half when we talk about a TUSD initiative. This is KVOA 1030 AM, The Voice, Tucson's only live local news and talk.
Hi.
Welcome back to Jump in Tucson, the Friday edition, where we talk about success stories. And we've welcomed back Val Romero, TUSD's governing board member and owner of Arizona Grill and Hearth. Thanks for coming back, Val.
Thank you.
And with us in the studio, we have a pretty unique discussion about something that's pretty cool in our community. It's called the Ross Scrooge Cougar Classic, and the guy that started all of this is a gentleman by the name of Dale Lopez. Good morning, Dale.
Good morning, Ed.
And we're joined also by someone who's participated in the Ross Scrooge Cougar Classic for well over three decades, Henry Barraza. Good morning.
Good morning, Ed.
Hey, Dale, the Ross Scrooge Cougar Classic, what is it? And you started it 41 years ago. How'd that all come about? And why did you start a basketball classic for kids? And tell us the story of how it all got started.
That is a good question. Let's see, 1983. I was volunteering at Ross Scrooge. Maybe a little while we can tell you what Ross Scrooge is for the people who never heard of Ross Scrooge. But anyway, I was volunteering.
Well, what is a Ross Scrooge? What is
okay,
a Ross Scrooge?
Let's talk about what is a Ross Scrooge. Ross Scrooge was the original Tucson High School.
Right.
And that was built in 1907. And it is, at the present time, a K-8 magnet in the Tucson Unified School District. It's a bilingual K-8 magnet in the Tucson Unified School District.
Val, you've been there, right?
I've been there. Yes, I have.
It's a beautiful school. It's right across the street from Tucson High School.
Right, right. Across the street. And in 1914, it was the grammar school joined the Tucson High School there. And Ross Scrooge has been around ever since then. Ross Scrooge is named after a pioneer who from England, George Ross Scrooge. And he was also part of the school board at that eventually, and was a surveyor in Pima County. So anyway, I went to school there,
right?
And from fourth grade through eighth grade, and then I went to Tucson High. And while I was attending Tucson High, I came back after school and helped out with the after school recreation program that TUSD had going for a short time, and then they had to cut it out. So I kept the program at Ross Scrooge going, and most of the other schools didn't have anything after school. But I was thinking, if I around doing coaching these kids in the different sports, there's got to be other people like Henry Barraza, which I didn't know at the time was.
Right.
But there's got to be other people who want to get interscholastic sports going at the elementary level. And so I searched around, and I found Henry working at Keene. Right. Tell us about Keene.
Yeah.
Super Keene.
Keene Elementary has since closed down because of the Davis-Monthan.
Right.
But that's when I transferred there in 1983.
Is that on Valencia?
That's on Allington.
Allington, right.
In the Barrio Centro area.
CC, yeah.
And Dale got a hold of me and with this great idea that he wanted to start a tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And I was all in from the very beginning, and so I asked him to give me some details, and they will probably tell you how the tournament started with only three or four teams at the very beginning.
Right. What were you at Keene? Were you just a teacher at that point? Or
Yes. I was a fifth grade teacher when I got the call from Dale.
Yeah. So you started with a couple of teams.
Yeah, we had three. Well, we scheduled four teams for the first tournament. One dropped out. So we had Ross Scrooge, Keene, and Saints Peter and Paul.
Right.
And now it's grown to... Since that day, we've had over, throughout the 41 years of the tournament, we've had 101 different schools participate.
That's amazing, you know, and just the number of young people that have been through the Cougar Classic and experienced that. Many of them are 50 years old now because they're now adults, and then some of them are coming back. We were talking the other day about how some of them have sons and daughters that have played in the tournament, and now even some of them have grandkids that are playing in the tournament. So you're on the third generation here of people playing. So.
Oh yeah, several of our coaches used to play in the tournament, and now they're coaching in the tournament.
Val, isn't this a really cool event? You know, the TUSD helps sponsor this, but isn't it great that Dale and his family have done this for so many years?
Yeah, and it's great because I'm seeing a lot of, you know, getting involved with the TUSD community. There's people like Dale that are doing great things, that are so passionate about doing these things for the kids, because we do have a lot of families and kids out there that want to be involved, and they need these types of things. And so I commend both of you guys for starting this, and I look forward to attending a lot of these games coming up during the tournament.
So let's talk a little bit about what's coming up in the month of February. You've got some great locations. You use the area high schools and you got a lot of teams. So talk a little bit about the tournament that's coming up in February.
Okay, we've played at throughout the years, we've played at every TUSD high school. We played at Tucson Park and Recreation locations. We played at, we even played at Sahuarita and some Sunnyside high schools, whatever was available. But TUSD athletic directors at their high schools have been very, very welcoming. This year, our first day is February 3rd. We'll play games at Palo Verde and at Santa Rita high schools. And we will have well over 40 teams playing this year. And the entry deadline to enter isn't until Monday, so there's still teams coming in. But it will be quite an event, and people can go to roscougarclassic.org to see the schedule once we get set it next week.
Okay, so we're talking to Dale Lopez, the founder of the Roscrooge Cougar Classic, a basketball tournament for elementary and junior high school or middle school students, and Henry Barraza, who we'll talk a little bit about his career here in just a sec, and also with us is Val Romero, a TUSD governing board member. So, Dale, when these students participate in this tournament, obviously they it's kind of a Sweet 16 kind of an experience. They actually play a tournament style and get down to the winners, right?
Yes, we do play a tournament style, but we have games for teams all three weekends. So even if you lose your first game, you're still going to be able to play every week, every Saturday during the tournament.
And one of the things that we do with Coaches for Charity, we've been working on this for years. We have we just completed, and thanks to your help and all the folks that helped us on the MLK basketball tournament for high school students, and then we have the kickoff classic for Coaches for Charity in the August time frame. One of the things we talk about is giving students an experience. So high school students get an experience to play basketball on the McHale Center floor. 99.9% of them will never play at that level, so it's nice to have that venue. And then we give high school football athletes the opportunity to have a bowl-like experience, with the majority of them not going on to college ball or moving along, so it's kind of the end of the road for a lot of them. So we give them this unique experience. And this is the same thing that you do for the Roscrooge tournament. You get these elementary school and middle school kids playing on high school gyms. It's kind of a unique experience for them, isn't it?
It's very unique because the TUSD schools do not have gymnasiums at elementary schools. So for them, so they play their games outside. For them to get into a beautiful gymnasium and have games called by officials, these are the officials who call our high school and college games, calling their games. It's just a great, great experience for the kids.
And the energy and the facilities during the weekends is just amazing to hear the fans there and the kids and everything. So I just want to talk briefly about, this is not Dale Lopez by himself. There's a ton of volunteers that have helped you, but probably the biggest group of volunteers that you've had over the years is your family. Can you talk a little bit about how you've mustered the support of your own family and all the volunteers that help you put this on?
Yeah, I guess it's just part of life. They know February comes around, I'm going to be helping Dad with the Roscrooge Cougar Classic. JJ and Tony and Carlos and Rosina and Chris, they're all helping, either running the table, running a gym, or helping me organize. So it's a fantastic experience. And we have some great sponsors and supporters outside of my family. Mm-hmm. The Tucson Conquistadors have contributed money every year for us. Mm-hmm. And of course, we have some great sponsors who are there every year. Brooklyn Pizza Company, Bernal Fitness, Martha Lockhart is our photographer, and Caruso's and Tidy Up. They're all with us during the, because the reason for that is because we want to keep the entry fee very low for the teams. They're paying like $100 to play in this tournament. Most of these club tournaments, if you want to play a weekend, it's going to cost the team $400, $450 just to get in to play for one weekend, three or four games. So by having these sponsors and these supporters and these contributors, we can keep the entry fee very low so that we can just take care of the officials and the gymnasium opening and closing and the awards.
Okay, well, we'll take a break now. We'll come back in just a minute and talk a little bit more about the Classic and a little bit about the Pima County Sports Hall of Fame, which you're both members of. You are listening to Jump in Tucson. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. You know, I'm sitting here with a couple of Hall of Famers. You know, I've got the King of Barbecues, who's in the Barbecue Hall of Fame, Val Romero from Arizona Grill and Hearth, and from the TSD Governing Board. So welcome back, Val.
Thank you again, Ed.
And then I have two Pima County Sports Hall of Fame members here. We have Dale Lopez, who is the person who started the Ross Cruz Cougar Basketball Classic back in the 80s. And then someone who's been participating in that activity all these years, Henry Barraza. So you're both Pima County Sports Hall of Fame members. So when did you get inducted? Yeah, I think you got inducted the same year, did you not? I might be wrong with that. But
no, Dale got inducted, I think, 2 years before I did.
2 years before you did it. Mm-hmm. And so what is the Pima County Sports Hall of Fame, and why did they select you to be a member of that elite group?
Well, I think the nice thing about the Pima County Sports Hall of Fame is that they don't just recognize the people who have gone on to play in the major leagues or
right.
or won Heisman trophies or whatever. They also look at the little guys like us who are very passionate about youth sports and right. getting youth sports popular in Tucson.
That's fantastic.
And Henry, tell us about some of the things that you've done.
I've been coaching ever since I was a junior at the University of Arizona. But once I started teaching, I got into coaching cross country and basketball, track and field, softball. And in 2012, our superintendent at the time, Dr. Sanchez, had put in a nomination for me because he had found out what I was doing
right.
For the district and put in the nomination. And a year later, I got in, one of the greatest honors that I've ever had in my life.
Well, that's fantastic. You know, and you also had kind of an interesting career being a teacher and then moving into administration and spent the last few years, several years, as a principal. And, of course, I asked you this off air, who's your favorite teacher at Northern Arizona University? And you said...
The answer is Ed Ackerley, in case you guys didn't know who he is.
Yeah. So I do... One of my other jobs I have is I teach teachers at Northern Arizona University, and Henry was in my class one time. But tell us about how you just retired and how long were you in administration and with USD?
I was a teacher for 43 years.
Wow.
And with that, it's, like I said, something that I always enjoyed doing. And as far as the Pima County Sports Hall of Fame, like I said, I was nominated. And again, a big part of it is one of the highlights,
mm-hmm.
you know, talking about the Ross Cruz Cougar Classic, is being able to coach my sons during that time. Both Enrique and Nicholas and Christian, all three of them, played for me as a coach. And with all the amazing things that Dale has done with the Pima County Sports Hall of Fame and especially the Ross Cruz Cougar Classic, it's easily, like I said, the highlight.
Yeah.
And also, I got to give props to my wife, Christine, because as a coach, you know, I did it for over 40 years. We're not home like the way they want us to be right now.
Right. That's right.
And a lot of it is, okay,
it's kind of like DJing. It's kind of like being out late at night
exactly.
DJing. Yeah.
It's like, it's 7 o'clock at night, we just got home, okay, right. Let's go to McDonald's instead of having a nice cooked
exactly.
meal. But now that I'm retired, guess who's doing all the cooking?
There you go.
That's me.
Well, you need an outdoor barbecue grill.
There you go.
Step
up your game.
It's pretty cool to see, Val, it's pretty cool to see someone spending over 4 decades teaching our young people
and
the commitment to that.
And I want to thank you for your dedication to that because it's teachers and coaches like you that I'm seeing that have this passion that are doing things for the kids in our community. So you guys have a lot of years under you guys, and there's a lot in the district that I'm finding out, and they're doing it because they still have that passion. So again, I want to thank you both for your dedication.
So two things, Ed, so I don't forget, so I can get back into the house.
Right.
Jesse, I need to thank Jesse, my wife,
yes.
because no one has been more supportive than she has. Every February, our living room is, you know, filled with the right. Cougar Classic stuff that we need to do, plus year-round the coaching. So thank you, Jesse. Thank you very much. And also... I want to mention about TUSD and their support of interscholastic sports. Not too many districts do this, but TUSD has provided a stipend at every elementary and K-8 school for coaches to teach, to coach cross country, flag football, basketball, track and field, kickball, softball. So that's provided so that any elementary school who has someone on staff who would like to coach could get a stipend to do that. And that's wonderful because it's been volunteer for so long. It's really making a difference in TUSD. I mean, extracurricular activities, including sports, are the best dropout prevention program we have. So this is fantastic that TUSD is so supportive.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to be allowed back in my office if we don't give some props to my brother, Bill Ackerley, who's helped you with the program and some of the background stuff for many years. And you
very
guys are,
good point.
You guys are good friends, and
very good
he really enjoys helping you guys out with
that. Bill creates a great printed program each year. And I mean, it's fantastic. Most tournaments, you know, don't even have a sheet of paper with the rosters, but Bill comes up with a beautiful printed program that has pictures of the teams and the rosters.
Yeah, fantastic. So let's end by just saying, Dale, this has been a labor of love for you over the last 41 years. Why is this tournament so important to the young people that have participated over the years, and why do you continue to do it?
Sometimes I wonder until game time, and I see all those smiles on those kids' faces. They're having so much fun. They're loving it. They're learning so many valuable lessons. There's no reason to stop doing it.
Right, right. And again, with 101 teams, we're talking about probably in the thousands, the numbers of kids that have gone through the Roskridge Cougar Classic. Yeah. And so, Henry, you participated for all those years. Why was it important to you, and why do you think it's important that we have these kind of community events?
I've always liked coaching, and when this tournament started and everything that we see that comes out of it, you know, with the players, the students having official referees, those are the highlights of for the students. I have many students who, again, some of them are in their 50s now, that come back to me and run into me, and that's one of the things they remember.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all these teaching experiences, but me as their coach, hey, do you remember the time we played at the Roskridge Cougar Classic and we came out in third place, which was a big highlight?
Right.
And again, it sticks to their mind, and it's very important that Dale continues. And as long as you know, he's doing it, and I can help him with officiating like I always do, I'll do it every year.
You know, that's one of the reasons we started Jump in Tucson, was to highlight some of these community activities and businesses that are success stories in Tucson. We sometimes get caught up, if you will, about all the negative things. It's nice to have something really positive like this in Tucson.
I wanted to mention that although the tournament's presented by TUSD, there are schools from Sunnyside, charter schools, Vail, other places that are involved in the tournament.
Yeah, and that's a good thing. We like that cross-district involvement, don't we?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you guys very much for what you do for Tucson. Dale, what's coming up on the horizon for the Pima County Sports Hall of Fame? Is there
Pima County Sports Hall of Fame will begin its selection process for the next Hall of Famers in March. Mm-hmm. So if anyone wants to go to that website, Pima County Sports Hall of Fame.org, then they can find out how to nominate someone.
Right, and you're nominating, the people nominate, like you said, people have gone on to the NFL or the NBA or the Major League Baseball or the WNBA, but they also are nominating people who have put in 40-plus years at events like the Roskridge Cougar Classic, who've made a difference in people's lives and how important that is. Well, thank you both for coming, and Val, thank you for stepping in for the hour. We appreciate it. We appreciate what all three of you do for young people in the city of Tucson. This is Jump in Tucson. My name is Ed Ackerley. Jump in Tucson is on KVOI 10:30 a.m. The Voice. And thanks for listening, and we'll see you on Monday.